Please turn again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, that portion of Scripture that we read earlier. I want to draw your attention to verse 33. Today I want to preach on the subject, the right hand and the left hand of God. The right hand and the left hand of God. And I want to base my remarks on Matthew 25, verse 33. Look at it. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider his precious word. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious truth. And we pray now, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. We're so conscious, Lord, that without thee, we can do nothing. But Lord, we thank thee that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And we pray, Lord, for strength as we would seek to preach this message this afternoon. We pray for those who will hear thy word. Oh God, that you would open up their ears to hear and open up their hearts to understand. Oh God, that they might perceive the will of God for them this day. But Lord, it is not thy will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh God, I pray that men will repent of their sin today, that you would give them that gift of repentance. And oh God, that they would turn to thee in faith, trust Christ as their Savior. We pray, Lord, that you would defeat the devil in lives. We're so conscious that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. Oh God, I pray that you would lighten the darkened heart, that you would come this Lord's day and speak with a voice that wakes the dead. O God, turn men and women unto thee in repentance and faith. And O God, to thee will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honor. Bless us now, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God is a spirit and does not have literal hands. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. In John 4, verse 24, Christ said to her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, when we think of God, we must think of him in this way. Literally, God does not have hands or feet, nor does he have eyes nor ears like you and me. However, when we turn to the Bible, the Lord speaks to us in terms that you and I can understand. Therefore, when the Bible speaks of God, the Bible speaks about the heart of God and the ears of God and the eyes of God. And here in Matthew 25, verse 33, the Bible speaks of the hands of God. This God does so that you and I can understand what he is saying. In this text, where our attention is drawn to the hands of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking concerning the final judgment of all things. That's the setting here in this chapter. Therefore, it is a very solemn portion of Scripture. In the chapter, the Savior is emphasizing the importance of being prepared for his second coming. Christ here is drawing our attention to the urgency of being saved before he comes again. And he is revealing unto us what is going to take place at the end of the world. Men and women, this world, as we know it, is coming to an end. The Bible clearly teaches this fact. Therefore, this is a very important passage of Scripture that we have set before us. because it gives us great insight into end time events and what is going to happen after this world is over. Very simply, today at the close of our service, I want to draw your attention to Matthew 25 verse 33. Look at the text again and see exactly what it says. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. I'm sure it's a familiar text of scripture to many in this service. But perhaps if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, it is not a familiar text to you. Therefore, I pray that you will listen very carefully to God's precious word today, because there is a very clear message for your heart this afternoon. And I don't want you to miss this message, because it's God's message to you today. If you're found in this church service without Christ, without God, and without hope. And my friend, if you're not saved, then you are without Christ, without God, and without hope. Coming to church will never save you. Coming to church will never bring you into heaven. Just because you've got a little bit of religion in your life, that does not mean that all is well for the great eternity. And that's why I believe God has laid this message upon my heart for you today. Therefore, I pray that God the Holy Spirit will take His word and apply it personally and powerfully to your heart. What do we learn here from this text of Scripture? Well, first of all, I want you to see that there's a distinction made here. There's a clear distinction that is made. In our text, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the sheep, and he speaks about the goats. Look what it says. And I hope that you have the Bible before you, because it's important that you read the Word of God for yourself. What does it say? And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Christ here makes a clear distinction between the sheep and the goats. This metaphorical language that is used here is of course describing two types of people in this world. Now you would understand that the Lord Jesus Christ here, he's not talking about literal sheep and literal goats. The Savior here in this text of Scripture is describing people. The sheep represent a certain type of people. The goats represent a certain type of people. Therefore, the question we need to get an answer to is this. Who do the sheep represent? And who do the goats represent in the text that we're dealing with here? When you study the New Testament, you very quickly learn that the sheep represent those who are saved, and the goats represent those who are not saved. The sheep represent those who belong to Christ, and the goats represent those who do not belong to Christ. Turn over with me in your Bible to John chapter 10 just for a moment, and you'll see this. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking again, and he comes to speak about his people. He comes to speak about those who are saved, born again. He comes to speak about those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And I want you to notice in John chapter 10 how the Lord Jesus describes his people. Take a look there with me at verse 14, first of all. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. There the Lord Jesus describes his people as the sheep. Now look at verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them,
and they follow me. Very clearly, and yet very simply, the Lord Jesus Christ here is describing his people as sheep. As sheep. Now, it stands to reason that if the sheep represent those who belong to Christ, then the goats represent those who do not belong to Christ. Therefore, the Son of God here makes a clear distinction in Matthew 25, verse 33, between the saved and the unsaved, between the saint and the sinner, between the sheep and the goats. My friend, I want you to see that distinction today. Indeed, more importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to see that distinction today in his holy word. Now, we're dealing with God's word. This is just not a sermon. But here in God's word, the Lord, he speaks. And as he speaks, he makes this distinction between sheep and goats. And the sheep represent those who are saved, those who belong to him. The goats represent those who are not saved, those who do not belong to him. Therefore, the Son of God is making a clear distinction here between the saint and the sinner. You know, this distinction is made in other places by Christ in the Bible, but he uses different terminology. For example, in Matthew chapter 13, the Savior speaks about the tares and the wheat. The tares representing the unsaved and the wheat representing the saved. But the fundamental truth that I want to make is this. Christ makes a distinction between those who are his and those who are not his. Those who belong to him and those who do not belong to him. My friend, let me ask you a very simple question today as you're gathered in God's house. Do you belong to Christ or do you not belong to Christ? Are you saved or are you not saved? Now, I'm not asking you, do you come to church? And I'm not asking you, have you got a wee bit of religion in your life? And I'm not asking you, do you seek to live an upright life upon this earth? I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, do you belong to Christ? I'm asking you, are you among the sheep or are you among the goats? I'm asking you today, are you among the redeemed, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior? Or are you among those who are still saying no to his free offer of salvation? Take a look at verse 34 of Matthew 25 and consider that Christ here makes the distinction again. But look, notice how the Savior, what the Savior says here. Look at verse 34. Come ye blessed of my Father. He describes those who are saved as blessed of his Father. You see that? Come ye blessed of my Father. Then in verse 41, take a look at how he describes those who do not belong to him. Depart from me, ye cursed. So in verse 34, he speaks of those who are blessed. And of course, everyone that's saved is blessed. Everyone that belongs to Christ is blessed because we're blessed with eternal life. We're going to see that just in a moment. We're blessed because we have our sins forgiven. We're blessed because we'll never be in hell. We're blessed because Jesus Christ is our Savior. But those who do not belong to Christ, the Bible describes such as those who are cursed because of sin. And of course, the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But you can see here again the distinction that is being made in this portion of Scripture. Oh, my friend, it's a very solemn thought, but I want you to think about it today before you leave God's house, because you'll probably not give it a thought after you leave God's house today. I hope that's not the case. I hope that God, the Holy Spirit, continues to work in your heart and your soul even after this meeting is over. But even just now, I pray that God would speak so to your soul that you would realize that you're not saved if you're found here without Jesus Christ as your Savior. The question is simple. Are you a sheep or a goat? Are you saved or unsaved? Are you a follower of Christ or a rejecter of Christ? Are you among the blessed or among the cursed? Oh, study the passage. See what is being said. But notice something else here in verse 33. I want you to notice not only a distinction that is made, but I want you to notice a division that is established. In our text, we are told that Christ divides the sheep from the goats. Now, did you notice that? Look at verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. See what's happening here. But the goats on the left. The word set here means to put or to stand in a specific place. That's what the word set means. Therefore, the Savior puts the sheep by his right hand, and he puts the goats by his left hand. Literally, what Christ is doing here is dividing the sheep from the goats. He's gathering all the sheep into one place, and that place is by his right hand, and he's gathering all the goats into another place, and that place is by his left hand. You see, up until this moment, the sheep and the goats had been mingling together, living together, existing together. But our text is speaking about a time of separation, when the sheep will be separated from the goats. Oh, this truth can be seen also in Matthew chapter 13. When the Savior speaks about the tares and the wheat. In Matthew 13 verse 30 we read these words. Listen to them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles, but gather the wheat into my barns. Men and women, there's coming a day when Christ the great judge will divide the sheep from the goats. And on that day, he will set, he will put, he will place the sheep or his redeemed people by his right hand, and he will set the goats or the unsaved by his left hand. Now, it's important that you see what's happening here in this text of Scripture and in this portion of God's holy word. The Lord's making a distinction between the sheep and the goats, between his people and those who are not saved. And then, not only does he make this clear distinction, but then he makes a division. He makes a separation. He gathers up all the sheep and he sets them on his right hand. And he gathers up all the goats and he sets them on his left hand. When will this day of division and separation take place? That's a good question. The answer to that question is given to us in Matthew 25 verse 31. Look at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come. In other words, at the second coming of Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Look at verse 32. Underline it. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. This great day of separation, this great day of division is going to take place when Christ comes the second time. At the second coming of Christ, this division and separation will take place. Jesus Christ is coming again, and when he comes, every true saint of God will be placed by his right hand, and every Christ rejecter will be placed by his left hand. My friend, that's what the Bible is teaching here. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here in this passage of Scripture. My friend, if the Son of God was to come again the second time today and make his division and make this separation, would you be placed by his right hand or by his left hand? Would you be counted among the saints of God, or would you be among those who are unsaved? That's a very solemn question. But that's a question, my friend, that only you can answer. That's between you and God. But it is a question that you need to answer honestly within your heart today, as you're found in God's word, as you're found in God's house, and as you listen to God's precious, precious word.
There's a day of separation coming. Now the sheep and the goats will mingle together, live together upon this earth. Even within our families, there's sheep and goats. Within our community, sheep and goats. Within our workplace, sheep and goats. Even within the church here today, there's sheep and goats. And we live together, mingle together, talk together, fellowship together. But the day is coming. And that day will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus comes again, there's going to be a great division made. He's going to take all the sheep that represent His people, all His people, and He's going to place them on His right-hand side. And He's going to take all the goats which represent the unsaved, and He's going to place them on His left-hand side. Now, that's what the text of Scripture is teaching us. That's what God's Word is saying to us. Friend, what side will you be placed? By His right hand or by His left hand? Now, if you're not saved, you'll be placed by His left hand. If you're not a child of God, you're going to be placed by His left hand. For only those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and saved by His grace will be placed by His right hand. You say to me, preacher, what is the significance of that? What is all the fuss? What's really the difference between His right hand and His left hand? Well, the text of Scripture tells us, indeed, as we read on down this portion of Scripture, it reveals to us that there is a great significance. And that's the third thing I want you to notice. I want you to notice, thirdly, a destination appointed. Not only a distinction made, not only a division established, but I want you to notice a destination appointed. Look at verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All the sheep, all those that he has set on his right hand side, he's going to bring them to heaven. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that what it says? That's what it clearly teaches. But then take a look there at verse 41. Because it reveals unto us what's going to happen to all those on the left-hand side of Christ. Then shall he say also unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. My friend, do you see the significance now of the right hand and the left hand of God? Men and women, can you see the significance of being one of the sheep of Christ and not being one of the sheep of Christ? God's right hand speaks of mercy, but God's left hand speaks of judgment. God's right hand is the place where the saints will enter heaven and eternal life, while God's left hand is the place from which the sinner will enter hell and eternal destruction. This portion of Scripture reminds us again of the two destinies that are spoken of in the Bible. Eternal life and eternal destruction. Heaven and hell. Now I know that we live in a day and an age, this 21st century, and many people do not believe in heaven or hell. And there are many who believe in heaven, but they don't want to believe in hell. And of course, when you talk to religious people, everyone expects to get into heaven. But my friend, everyone's not going to get into heaven. Only those who are placed on the right-hand side of Christ will get into heaven. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here. those who are placed upon his left-hand side, who have rejected him, who have said no to his free offer of salvation, will end up in a lost eternity. Forever and forever and forever. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, he said this in verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There the Lord again speaks about these two destinies, the broad road and the narrow road. The broad road which leads to destruction, the narrow road which leads to life. Matthew 25 verse 33, you see, is revealing unto us the final chapter for both the saint and the sinner. When this event of Christ dividing the sheep and the goats and declaring their eternal destinies take place, it will not be changed. It will not be altered. Once God brings those on his right hand to heaven and gives them eternal life, it will be forever. And once God dismisses those from his left hand into hell and everlasting punishment, there will be no reprieve. My friend, do you not see the seriousness of these words today? Can you not see that they're solemn words? Where do you stand in all this? Where will you stand on that great day when God will judge this world at the last day? Will you be on his right hand side or his left hand side? Will you enter into life eternal, or will you enter into eternal destruction? Look what it says in Matthew 25 verse 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Oh my friend, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's why it is imperative that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. John 3 verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." How solemn are these texts of Scripture that we have considered today, that we have quoted today. And of course, the interesting truth is this, Matthew chapter 25, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's doing the speaking. He's the one that's teaching the truth here, as it is found in this portion of Scripture. Where do you stand with God in the light of what we have said today? My friend, you need to be saved, and you need to have your sins forgiven, and you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And that's why I today, as your minister, would exhort you to come to Christ and be born again today and trust the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You've gone through almost another year and you're still not saved. You've gone through another weekend of harvest services and you're still found without Christ. How long will you go on in your sin? How long will you go on rejecting the one who wants to save you today? How long will you continue to resist the striving of the Holy Spirit in your life? My friend, there's coming a day. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world, and before him will be gathered all the nations of this world, from the beginning of time to the end of time. Everyone will stand before God. And on that day, God will divide the sheep from the goats.
He will divide his people from those who have rejected him, and he will place his people by his right hand, and he will set or place the unsaved by his left hand. And then he will turn to those on his right hand and he will say, "Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared before the foundation of the world." In other words, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. But he will turn to those on his left hand and he will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." My friend, that's what that book says. That's what the Bible says. And that's why you need to make your calling and election sure. That's why you need to make your peace with God. That's why you need to turn from your sin today. That's why you need to come and trust Jesus as your Savior. Because it's coming. You say to me, "Preacher, I don't think it's coming." It's coming. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe it." Listen, believe it. It's coming. As sure as you're sitting in that pew now, it's coming. As sure as I'm standing in this pulpit now, it's coming. As sure as 1 o'clock follows 12 o'clock, it's coming. My friend, it's coming. And that's why you need to prepare for this coming. That's why the Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God." Oh, read the text again. Underline it. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." The right hand. And the left hand of God. My friend, where will you be standing on that day? Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the simplicity of the word of God, for the simple, clear teaching of the scriptures of truth. And oh God, I pray today that no one here in this congregation will be found by the right hand of God or by the left hand of God on that day. But oh God, that everyone will be found by his right hand. Oh, the right hand of mercy, right hand of grace, the right hand from which the saints will enter heaven. Thank thee, Lord, that thou hast died and shed your precious blood in order to save sinners, in order to prepare them for this great judgment day. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. Hearts that are hard. Hearts that are indifferent. Hearts that are stubborn. Hearts, Lord, that are so careless. Even this day, Lord, convict them of their sin and show them their need of Christ. And draw them to the foot of the cross. We thank thee, Lord, today that we're still in this day of grace. Oh God, I pray that you would reveal unto them that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And even this Lord's day, that they will turn to thee. We thank thee, Lord, that there's mercy with the Lord. For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. O God, how we thank thee today for thy so great salvation. I pray, Lord, that everyone here will be sure that they're saved, that they'll know they're saved. And go, God, if there's any doubt in their minds whatsoever, that they'll not leave this place until they make their peace with God, until they are sure. Thank thee, Lord, that you give unto your sheep eternal life. We thank thee, Lord, for the assurance that you give your people that we're on our way to heaven. Bless your word today. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. 269 is our closing hymn. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod, Lord. I'm coming home. Maybe there's someone in the meeting today and the Lord has spoken to you again. And you want to be saved today. My friend, we're here as God's servant. Get saved today. Come to Christ today. That's your greatest need. Come and seek the Lord. Think of the words of this hymn as we stand to sing. 269.
Thank you.
My friend, make sure you make your peace with God today. I love you in the Lord, but I can't save you. I would love to be able to bring you all to heaven, but I can't do that. Only the Lord can save, bring the soul to heaven. But come to Christ today. Because there is this day of separation coming, this day of division. Families will be divided on that day. Mothers and fathers will be on the right hand side of Christ. Children will be on the left. Vice versa. Children will be on the right hand side of Christ. Parents will be on the left. There'll be great division. Oh, don't miss out. Don't miss out with God. Don't miss out missing heaven. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the simplicity of thy word, and we pray, Lord, that you would take it and write it upon every heart. That God, the Holy Spirit, would work in hearts. Oh God, we need thee to work. And we pray that you'd work from heart to heart and from seat to seat. And although the voice of the preacher is silent, that the still small voice of God will work on in souls. Lord, we look to thee. Help us, Lord, not to be complacent. Help us, Lord, not to be neglectful. Even, Lord, as we would preach the word, help us, Lord, to preach with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. Help us to preach for eternity. Oh God, I pray that you'll pluck brands from the burning today in Bethel. In Fermanagh, come, Lord, and work. Have mercy upon the lost. Bless us now, we pray thee. Separate us in your love. Keep your hand upon us till we meet again in your will, and bring us to our homes in safety. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.